White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 739.
Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. Let's watch some football. Now everybody, come on everybody. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yo, yo, yo. Let's watch some football. From the palatial White Rocket Studios in Southern Illinois in Eastern Virginia, it's the AU Wishbone Podcast. John, how are you tonight?
Very well, Van. How are you?
Oh, good, good, good. We're going to talk tonight about a number of things currently in front of the Auburn family. We had SEC Media Days over the past few days, and we have Big Cat Weekend coming up, although it seems like Big Cat Weekend's been coming up for months. I mean, it has, but it seems like we've been talking about it almost around the corner. You know, it's going to be any minute now. Here it comes.
It's almost coming.
It's almost here. Oh, so we'll get to all that. We've got the 101st episode of Guess the Game from Jared, which is exciting. We're in our second century of Guess the Game.
Everyone's favorite segment.
That's right, no doubt. And we've got a position preview coming up, another installment, as we continue our tour around the team, which is an awesome segment. But first up, of course, before we do anything else... It's the Auburn Fun Meter. It is our way of judging how excited we are about being an Auburn fan right now. And we rate it on a scale of 0 to 10. And we've been kind of stuck around 4.5, 5 the last couple of weeks. And, you know, there just hasn't been much going on. So where do you find your Auburn Fun Meter currently? It's hard to move the needle when nothing happens, really.
It is. I do enjoy media days because, again, it's another milestone that signals football will soon be here.
Yeah.
The Swallows returning to Capistrano in SEC media days. And again, it's not real football. It's talking season. But then I'm going to say 5.5.
5.5, yeah. I guess there's a couple of things that has got me a little more excited. One is the... SEC Media Days, and not only the fact that it happened, but that I thought that our coach did a really good job. And there's more to say about that coming up. But I thought he did a good job, and I thought our players did a good job, and that's great. So that's a plus. And then we are frantically working on our next Auburn book, and I have been doing a lot of research on it, and I found some really, really cool stuff. I found really cool stuff about 100 years ago, and I found a lot of really cool stuff about 20 years ago and currently. So it's neat to do detective work and unearth stuff you weren't expecting to find as you go. So our next book is going to have some very interesting components to it when it finally is done. And we talked about this a few days ago, and I'll share this with our audience now. We have not yet openly divulged what the exact topic... I've dropped some hints here and there. People kind of have a general idea where it's going. But we haven't told really anybody in our audience what the specific topic's going to be. Because that's a very specific topic. And so what we're going to do is when the time comes to that the book is moving toward publication, when it's all done, John and I are going to do a live video where we reveal the topic, the title, the cover, and talk a little bit about what's going to be in it, just to kind of whet you all's appetite and get you ready to run out and pick up a copy from us. So looking forward to that.
Very much.
Writing a book is a lonely, lonely process, and getting it out to the people and getting feedback is so huge, right? Writers like live in caves like hermits for 99% of the time, and they just live for that 1% of the time, you know, when they get together.
Walk to the cave mouth and throw the scrolls out.
That's right. And then tell the kids to get off their lawn. But, you know, with my sci-fi stuff and all, I get to go to Dragon Con and Archon and St. Louis Comic Con and all and you know, share stuff with people. But with our Auburn stuff, it has to be kind of like here on YouTube or in the AU bookstore or whatever. So although we are going to be at the Arkansas game, theoretically, we're planning on that. So maybe we'll have it by then. Who knows? It's possible. It could be done by then. We'll see. Maybe we'll run into some Auburn folks there and, like, have a bag full of them in the trunk of the car. So who knows? We'll see. No promises. I don't know when it's going to be.
I was
going
to say, undercover book signing on the Arkansas.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I've done plenty of those at Dragon Con. It's not impossible. So, all right. I removed the fun meter conclusion off of the soundboard. I didn't have room for it anymore. So, I had to add a new thing that Jared sent me that's pretty good that we'll see later. So, I'll just say that's been the Auburn Fun Meter. The SEC Media Days came and went, this time in Nashville. I saw that Hugh Freeze said it was kind of surreal to not be in Birmingham, and that's for sure. So the things that we learned about the SEC and about Auburn, we learned some Auburn stuff. We learned some around the SEC stuff. So what did you take from that event, John?
I mean, first, again, it's coaches and players talking, and there's things they won't talk about. But I think there was some useful things. So on the player-specific side, we said last week they wouldn't talk about Jarquez Hunter. They didn't talk about Jarquez Hunter.
Nope.
Brian Battee has a toe injury, is kind of turf toe, and maybe a little limited in camp and early in the season. So I worry about that a little bit. It's not great.
No. But, toe injury sounds like it shouldn't be a big deal, but it's really annoying, especially when you run for a living, you know?
Yeah. Well, and those two things go together, right? If Hunter is potentially out or suspended for a couple of games, we need Battee to play more. So that matters. One of our signees, you know, we have two signees that haven't made it yet on a campus. One looks like they'll have to go JUCO, and the other one looks like it's going to happen. So the other's a defensive lineman. So
if it's just one, that seems like an improvement over some years past where we – I mean, there were times under Terry Bowden that half the class either turned pro, went into baseball, went to prison. I mean, you were lucky to get a half of that class show up.
It really was a recruiting lesson for all of us in that it doesn't matter until they get on the campus and walk in the door.
Amen.
That whoever we sign in whatever the signing day is, that you know, back then it was just February, is not real.
Yeah.
It's when they walk in the door, it's real.
Oh, man. And with Gus, they'd walk in the door, and it's still something would happen half the time. It's unbelievable. It's just so weird. But anyway, so just one player, maybe two, having an issue. And then you told me, and then I heard it a bit later, interesting thing about our new quarterback signee, Peyton Thorne.
A lot of chatter from different people about Peyton Thorne being a good leader. And being a guy that really is taking it seriously. And one of the things that he did was ask for photos and names of every single employee in the football building, not his teammates, the staffers and the people who actually do all the work in the football building, so he could recognize every single person by name.
That's amazing. For somebody that age, I mean, I'm a little bit older than him, and I wouldn't even thought of that. So, dang, man, that's pretty good. That's really impressive.
And trying to make a positive impression, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I tell you right now, having the foresight and the, you know, just being able to think of stuff like that and the desire to do it and everything, it's very impressive. It says other things about you. You know what I mean? It's indicative of other things. Attention to detail, wanting to know things, being inquisitive, wanting to be courteous, you know, that's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. You had to give it to him. All right. So who went up to Nashville with Coach Freeze?
We talked about this team being not a star-studded team, being more kind of a blue-collar team with a lot of good players, and so they sent three seniors: Luke Deal, Elijah McAllister, and Cameron Stutz. Mm-hmm. McAllister is the transfer from Vanderbilt, at outside linebacker. And then, Deal, longtime tight end, Stutz, longtime offensive guard. Mm-hmm. I mean, Stutz, I don't know if you know this, was a signee with many players who have been gone from here for years. So,
was he signed by Tubbs?
No, but it was,
it was Chizik. He's just getting his third PhD.
He was on some very early signing classes. That's all I'm going to say. You will be surprised at who's, gone from his signing class. So, The good thing is I think they picked three good guys, three good players who, you know, represented Auburn well, yeah. but also, you know, were guys who could say, hey, I'm here for the work. You know, I'm here to work hard. This team's doing the right things. We're moving forward. You know, we got good guys on the team. We're working hard to practice. We like the new coaches, all that kind of stuff. And so I think that's a good thing. I'm going to read you some players on Cameron Stutt's signing class. Are you ready?
These are players that came in with him in his signing class.
Joey Gatewood. Matthew Hill.
Oh, wow.
Smoke Monday and Jamie and Sherwood.
Wow.
Seth Williams.
No.
And shit. Christian Tutt and Sean Shivers, Roger McCreary.
These are players I used to have sound clips for on the soundboard and got rid of years ago. I can't even play you a sound clip for these players because I removed them a long time ago. This is back when the soundboard was analog and I had to switch out cassette tapes to play the different sound effects.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
But really good. Those guys did a great job representing Auburn. They're three fine young men, and we should, you know, be pretty proud of them. What else did we learn? The quarterback competition will be three guys, you know, not Hank Brown. They're definitely going to redshirt him.
Yeah.
And the goal was to have kind of 10 practices and then narrow it down to two guys to kind of compete through the rest of camp and maybe even in the first game or two.
So our working theory is Peyton Thorne is in, and it's a battle between Robbie and Holden Gurner for the backup spot. Does that seem?
Or the starter. I mean,
What is the percentage that Holden Gurner is the starting quarterback over those other two guys?
10%?
5%? Yeah, that's what I thought. I'll stick with my initial evaluation, but yeah, interesting. Okay. Let's see. Oh, yeah. I thought this was interesting, though, that going in, the conventional wisdom was that Freeze would probably give a very long, rambling opening address to basically filibuster so that he could avoid all these hard questions that would surely be coming his way. And instead, he was either the shortest opening statement or one of the three or four shortest opening statements. Now, part of that, unfortunately, is that we don't have Swing Your Sword
Leach
anymore. Yeah, Mike Leach wasn't there. Because remember, last year, Mike Leach's opening statement was like five words or something. It was like a sentence or a phrase. So without him there, the lowest one was like 4.5 minutes, and I believe that was Freeze. So he was not afraid. Like, in other words, he came out and basically said, ask me what you want to ask. And, most of the questions were, you know, pretty softball or technical or whatever. The only one that was even controversial was, you know, what can you tell us about Jarquez Hunter? And he basically said, that's a university matter, and I'm not allowed to comment on it. Which did comment, because what it told us is the university is handling it and not the athletic department, which is interesting. That's interesting. That's something we didn't necessarily know, maybe. I don't think we knew that. I mean, I think we suspected it, but we didn't know for sure.
Yes. So it's not a Freeze decision, not a John Cohen decision out of their hands.
Right. And imagine if Jeff Berger had been treated that way back in the Pat Dye era. Reggie Slack would have been the starting quarterback in 1987, John, which wouldn't have necessarily been a bad thing. It's just that he was still young and Berger was our seasoned, you know, senior that year. But it would have been bye-bye senior, hello sophomore, you know. But I was very proud and happy that Coach Freeze did give a long time for questions and took everything that anybody had. And I was also happy that they didn't go and, like, dig up old stuff all over again, because Lord knows I feel like we've been there and done that. And then we had his opening press conference when he was introduced, where we had to bring it all up again, and that's fine. It needed to be talked about. It needed to be dealt with. It was dealt with. So I'm glad we were able to move on and talk about football, and that's what they did. So let's see. Yeah, I also heard him say, and people have been talking about this, that he said he was surprised at the state of our roster when he arrived. Well, that's the exact same thing Tommy Tuberville said in 1999. You may remember that. When Tuberville came in, he's like, yes, I have the keys to the Ferrari. And then he's like, and the Ferrari has two cylinders. And the engine has two cylinders. It's a Ferrari lawnmower.
You go engine in the Ferrari.
He had no running backs on that team in 1999. He had to manufacture a running game out of nothing. Clifton Robinson is the running back, which is a sad. Can you imagine? So that's the exact same thing. And I think the moral is, if you've just been hired to save the program, as Tuberville was in 99 and as Freeze was after a year and a half of
potato,
then you should expect the cupboard's going to be somewhat bare. Because if the cupboard wasn't somewhat bare, you probably wouldn't have been hired to save the program.
Yeah, but I think when we say the cupboard's bare, it's both kind of the talent on the roster, but also Auburn's relationship with all the future recruits, too.
Yeah.
So it's who's in the room. Again, I think you look at the turnover and the transfer portal work that Freeze and his staff did, the talent in the room wasn't great. I mean, I want to say this and be absolutely honest. If we had not made a coaching change and Potato and his staff were still here,
yeah,
we would go 3-9.
Oh, Chizik would be like, it's my big chance to be redeemed. I'll look like a good season there in 2012 compared to what we're about to get. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. You're right. So, yeah, he said we're not going to close the gap with Georgia and Alabama overnight. This is a long build. And I did notice, I think it was Jared that texted me tonight that like Boomer, big game Boomer or whatever his name is, the guy that does the memes, the graphics of all the different teams in college football on Twitter, he had posted one that he said was like the fan bases with the most unrealistic expectations going into this season, and we're number one, which is not surprising to hear. But, you know, if you know history, you don't think that. Auburn fans know history, and so we know this is when we're often good, right? There's more like, going by Auburn history, it's more likely we'll have a good year this year than in 3 years. It just is. This is the year we'll go like 11-1 or something, and then in 2 or 3 years when we bring in all the big players, we'll go 9-3 or 8-4. That's just kind of the way Auburn works. It's just bizarre. So having unrealistic expectations is a proud Auburn tradition going back decades. And oftentimes they're not unrealistic. They're not as unrealistic as they seem. And I love that Jared replied back to him and said, "I'm an Auburn fan. Of course, you know." In fact, let me say, his quote was great. He sent it to me a while ago. He said, "Come on now, I'm a big Auburn fan. I have unrealistic expectations every season."
It's not news.
That's not news, exactly.
We're coming off two losing seasons.
Yeah.
And I do believe, you know, Freeze and his staff have brought a lot of energy to the program, and the transfers are going to help and stuff. But we were picked to finish sixth in the West.
And a realistic expectation for our record is 6-6. The barbecue has not spoken yet, but a sober, yes, realistic expectation that does not take Auburn being weird into account says six and six.
Las Vegas over-under is 6.5, I think. So
they understand that there's a chance we could do better than 6-6, for sure. If I had cash just lying around to waste, I would put some on Auburn doing better than 6-6.5. But because that's what we do. But then again, Tuberville's first season, we won 5 games. Pat Dye's first season, we won 5 games. So, but then Terry Bowden, we went 11-0. And Gus, we go to the national championship game. So you just never know. That's Auburn. You never know. Never, 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 never know. You never know.
That, And the other thing I think we learned out of SEC Media Days is that Freeze had some honest comments about play calling in the offense and said, Philip Montgomery's going to call the plays.
What? That's the rule. You say that name, the field marshal's name gets called out, you get Rule Britannia. John continues.
I'm going to propose that we save Rule Britannia for when the offense does something cool.
That's
just me, right?
I'll use it when the offense does something cool. That's fine. So he's going to be calling the plays.
Yes. Freeze was, I thought his comments about this were pretty good. He said, at one time, I believe I was among the best play callers and offensive designers in the country, but I may not be that person anymore, and I need to focus on other things. And so I wanted to get somebody that I knew could do that job.
I love that he pulled a Gus without going 2 seasons of 8-5 and thinking, maybe I need to step back and let somebody else call the plays.
And I think it's interesting to contrast this with the, Texas A&M situation, where Jimbo doesn't believe for a moment that he is not among the best play callers.
Oh, right. He's doing this with a gun to his head. The whole Petrino thing has a gun to his head. Never in a million years would Jimbo Fisher have gone out and hired Bobby Petrino if there was not a gun to his head. Am I wrong?
I don't know if they can make him do anything.
Well.
Right?
They can.
I mean, they could be like, okay, hand me the $100 million, whatever. I walk away.
I don't think he would have done it purely on his own volition. I think he thinks, no, I'm just going to go back and do the same thing again.
That's right.
Well, before anybody out there gets all their pants in a wad about me saying that about Gus, he just did it again, okay? It's not me. I'm just pointing it out.
I don't think anybody's going to be like, that Gus would never do that. Come on.
He just did it again at Central Florida.
Well, I gotta hand the play calling over to somebody else. I got other things I need to be worried about. Yeah, I'm going to do that. So,
oh, Gus, we love you so much. But I just gave a Central Florida report, didn't I?
This has been the Central Florida Golden Knights report.
There you go. You get bonus content with our program. Bonus content. That's it.
Rule Britannia and the Central Florida Report.
I'm going to throw in a hate week in a minute. You just watch. I ain't done. Let's move on to recruiting. Got an announcement coming up this week.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. DeMarcus Riddick, a five-star linebacker, who's currently committed to Georgia, but he's calling it a decision. People think he's going to decommit from Georgia and then commit to either Auburn or Alabama.
Well, being in that conversation with those two is not a bad place to be.
No. So, this is a guy, he's announcing this on Wednesday, but he has signed up to attend Big Cat Weekend. So, you shouldn't read into that it's done.
Right.
But that's not a bad thing.
When the three hats on the table in front of you are Alabama, Georgia, and Auburn, that's a good thing. With Potato, the three hats were like Troy, Alabama State, and Auburn. So, I think this is an improvement for sure. Yeah,
sure.
Good deal.
All right. That's big heading into the weekend, and then the Big Cats next weekend. A lot of big names on campus. We'll probably get a couple other recruits out of it.
So many, yeah, so many possibilities. I did note. I keep an eye on our recruiting standings. We're 14th when you include Texas and Oklahoma, so 14th out of 16. But I talked about this a little bit last week. We have more 4-stars than anybody except like the top echelons of the SEC, right? Like 8 or 9 teams ahead of us have fewer 4-stars than we do. And in fact, our players in terms of 4-star and 3-star and 5-star and whatever, our players are identical to Oklahoma in numbers, except they have 2 more 3-stars. So in other words, if you took 2 3-star okay players and stuck them on our recruiting class right now, we would jump all the way up to like 7th, tied with Oklahoma. So in other words, if we add another 4-star, we probably jump over Oklahoma up to like 6th, right, or something.
Exactly. And we, again, we have 11 commitments right now. A lot of the teams at the top have in the 20s.
Oh, yeah.
So our, you know, I think the goal is to have 16-ish by this time the season kicks off.
Right.
And then I think you're right. I think we'll be in a very good place.
I like that we're being selective. We're not panicking. You know, we're like, we got time. There's no need to worry, no hurry. There's players out there, and we're going to wait until we know for sure if we're getting these big ones or not. But we're not settling. We're not settling for, you know, it's like the old saying, there's Mr. Right and there's Mr. Right Now. And we're not settling for Mr. Right Now in our recruiting. We're looking for Mr. Right or Mr. Goodbar.
There's some big name guys that we're still going hard after, will to the end probably, but there's some that, you know, we may realize we have no chance and we'll move off and get some other guys. They're looking at a second running back potentially, and there's a couple of those guys out there. And then the big guys in for this weekend, we got Perry Thompson, your guy we talked about, who's a five-star committed to Alabama. KJ Bolden is the five-star safety, one of the top players in the country everybody wants, who's, you know, from Georgia. And then DeAndre Carter is a big offensive lineman from California. It's one of our primary offensive line targets. He's going to be in here. That's a big one. And there's a lot of 2025 recruits. It's not just the current year recruits, but there's a lot of guys who are, will be juniors in high school in the fall who are coming to Big Cat Weekend. And we started, you know, the last few years getting a couple of top 2025 commits at Big Cat Weekend. And then them being kind of leaders of the recruiting effort going forward. So there's a guy named Zion Grady, who's a big defensive lineman in state, and Alabama is going to be there, and a bunch of other big time 25 guys. So I think that we could definitely see some action there.
Yeah. So it just shows you, you're always having to look forward and forward and forward classes down the line. I mean, when we talk about how busy Hugh Freeze has been recruiting, I mean, it's bad enough that he comes in and has to catch up this whole class. He's having to look to the future. He can't spend all of his time on 2023, 2024, and then not do anything about, you know, you got to start that ball rolling on the younger ones on down the list. So just so much. I just can't imagine how much work and time and effort he has to put into just being on all the time, being sociable, you know, talking to these people on and on and on. It's astonishing, really. The amount of work it takes to be competitive in the SEC is, you know, there's a reason why there's a small number of people that can even do well at it, you know.
Yes.
So, all right, it's time for our position previews. We have looked at the special teams a little bit, and now we're making our way over to where position now?
So we're starting on defense. We did cornerbacks last weekend. Now we're doing safeties. Next week we will do nickel. So safeties, Auburn has – it's another position where Auburn has a lot of experience and strength, I feel like, on the roster. We have Zion Puckett and Jalen Simpson are both seniors that have played a lot of football and that are productive, experienced players, not just veteran guys, but guys that, you know, make plays. They were both in the top 10 in the team in tackles last year. Simpson led the team with two interceptions, which, again, two is not a lot, which is a problem, but he led the team interceptions. And Puckett also had two tackles for loss and caused a fumble. So they were guys that made plays and I think, you know, could do better. But, you know, we have two veteran talented corners who are probably going to play in the NFL. We have two experienced safeties. I think the secondary is going to be real strength for Auburn, and we haven't talked about nickel yet. So here's where it gets interesting. So returning guys that back them up, to back up Puckett and Simpson, we have Marquise Gilbert, who was a JUCO signed a year ago but is a junior. Caden Bridges, right, who is played a good bit as a sophomore. And then Austin Osberry, who was a good signee a year ago. He and J.D. Rim were kind of the big secondary signees a year ago. He's a redshirt so he's a redshirt freshman. So those are the three kind of guys on the roster that have been around that are the backups. And then we have three true freshmen walking in the door. The big name guy, Sylvester Smith, is a guy we flipped from Tennessee on signing day. He was part of that big signing day wave. He's a four-star signee. C.J. Johnson's another true freshman. And then Terrence Love is another four-star signee. So we have real talent coming in the door at safety. So the future looks solid. I think some of these guys could play sooner than later, but none of them went through spring practice. So we'll see. Maybe they could play on special teams and be an occasional backup. But I think probably it'll be the, you know, Gilbert Bridges, Osbury will be the primary backups, and these guys will be further out. But the bottom line is this is a really good position for Auburn. It's a team strength. We have depth. We have talent. We have experience. And we have some kind of studs for the future that I think are going to be real players a year from now. So I think those guys are exciting, and I can't wait to see what they do.
Yeah, we always seem to have a good, solid defensive back squad, and it just doesn't change. Mm-hmm. We seem to never have any trouble bringing them in, and thank goodness. And, I mean, Jalen Simpson is really good, and Zion Puckett. I mean, if you can't puck it, that's not you. I put that on the soundboard. If you can't puck it, all right. So what position are we going to do next week?
We're going to do Nickelback.
All right. Nickelback. Not the band. That was a band, right? I think that was a band. All right.
It was 100% a band.
All right.
It is 100% a band.
All right. So, again, we'll remind you that coming up in the next few weeks before the summer is over, we'll have the AU Wishbone Book Club, where we're going to discuss the Al Borges book, The Nye of the Tiger. So if you want to be part of that conversation up on what we're talking about, then make sure you get a copy and read it. We're going to try to get Al Borges on the show. I'm not sure how well it's going to work out because I've had trouble contacting him after the initial interest, but hopefully somebody that knows him will get him to hook up with us and we'll be able to have that conversation. I'd like to promote his book and like to talk to him. It'd be fun. So we're all ready to do that. So that's coming up soon. We'll let you know for sure. I'll just give a quick update on this. I do on Twitter occasionally, but not everybody's on Twitter, I know. John and I are working on a new Auburn book. This will be our fifth, I believe, after Season of Our Dreams,
wow.
Decade of Dominance.
That can't be right.
Season of Our Dreams, Decade of Dominance, We Believe Volume 1, and Auburn Basketball from Barkley to Bruce. So this is going to be number 5. And as I said, we're going to do a video reveal of it when it's ready, but that'll be a little while down the line. But it's at about 68,000 words right now. It's funny, whenever we start one of these books and they start small, I always think, man, this book isn't going to be long enough. Where are we going to have fine enough to talk about? And they just grow and grow and grow. We Believe Volume 1 ended up taking 2 summers to complete because it's got so much in it. That book is just overflowing. And of course,
yes.
Auburn Basketball would have been that long except thankfully, the Tony Barbee and Jeff Lebo season took about 50 pages out of it that would have been in it otherwise. So,
yeah, they're like a page and a half.
But then the Charles Barkley section kind of expanded beyond any, like Charles himself, kind of expanded beyond any reason. And so while still being solid, like Charles. So, so there's those 4 books. This is a new one. We'll announce exactly what it's about and where you can get it. And all that kind of good stuff, hopefully not too long away. We're working feverishly on it now. We're going to do some more on it tomorrow night, probably. So, all right, let me pause here for a second to thank the folks who keep this program going and let us do stuff like those books. We do not do ads on this show. You do not have to suffer through the show being interrupted constantly by advertisements. Instead, we do this fun bit here where we thank the folks that keep the program going, our patrons. If you'd like to join their ranks, go to www.auwishbone.com, auwishbone.com, and there's a lot of fun stuff there, but you can also click on the big orange button to become a patron. When you do, you can do things like be part of our Fantasy Formula One League, which is running right along almost to the midpoint of the season now, which I'll get to in just a minute. We do March Madness bracket pick'ems. We do bowl pick'ems. Famously won by certain people in our studio right now. What? Hey, Boris. So go to www.auwishbone.com if you want to join. Here are the fine, and you can put whatever you like in the name field. And this is what folks have done. Here are the fine folks currently keeping our show going. They include Samuel Salvatore, Boris the Tiger's burner account. Did you know that you have a burner account? It's right here on the screen, Boris. Carl Von Drucker, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Logan Chilton, Ann Kanjian, Bill Weathers, Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, David WDE Sammons Esquire became a patron so Van could get his cool Star Wars shirt. Thank you, David. Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, Matt Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor says...
No! 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 I'm devastated! I'm devastated, and they're celebrating right in front of me! This is the worst! This is the worst! No!
That just never gets old. And Phil makes sure that we get to hear it every single week, which is awesome. Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden. Up here goes our weekly...
I'm afraid that my condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy.
That's it. Alex Brown, Ben Bloodworth, Bleeds Orange and Blue, calibrating my fun meter in the back booth of...
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage!
That's right. Chris Hilton, Dan Thompson, Earl Ricks, Bobby. I was shocked to hear that oh, no. There's been a fad of dad jokes on our program lately in terms of what people are putting in as their names. So here's the first one for tonight, and I'm sure there'll be more. I was shocked to hear that Saban got pickpocketed in T-Town. Who could stoop so low? Hey!
Forget the air horn. We need Statler and Waldorf here.
Jared sent me that noise to use for the sound for the dad joke. And I'm like, thank you. That saved me some trouble. So. So Mark always says, insert random sound clip. Which one have we not used? You know what? I'm going to use this as an excuse. Here we go, John.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
It's California Golden Bears Hate Week 2023. Pac-12 time slot of...
There you go. It's Hello. Not actually...
I don't know if it's actually on NBC, but it's still a great sound clip.
It's true. It's not. I don't know. I didn't think... I forgot where I got that from. It seemed like... Oh, you know where I got it from? Is the first place I went looking for Cal hippie music was Laugh-In on YouTube. And that's from the beginning of Laugh-In. And I liked it, so I just swiped it off the beginning of Laugh-In.
It's good. It's
and
good.
Then I switched over to Jefferson Airplane, which continues to boggle my mind that I put them in there before realizing that it was inspired by Jefferson Pilot, and it's Jefferson Airplane, and that just makes my head hurt. It's just bizarre. It's so weird. So, all right. Let's see. I've started telling everyone about the benefits of dried grapes. It's all about raising awareness. There you go. Thank you, Jared.
Not for while you can, the monkey boy.
Jacob and Robin Fleming, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lane Middleton. These are all the fine folks that let us keep moving through the list. It's fine. I like them both. Mickey B. No, and Fights Like Gaston. Algo Rhythm and Blues. Paul Miles. Play the Frosty sound clip. Do I have a Frosty sound clip?
Schwarzenegger going,
Oh.
Freeze. Freeze, ice, freeze. Ice, winter, forever frozen. Ice, freeze, winter, ice. Ice, freeze, winter, winter. Freeze, cold, frosty.
I love that one so much because it's just at the end. You think it's over and then frosty. It's so good. Thank you, Chris, I believe, for suggesting that one. Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Rusty Owen, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, Todd Robinson. Warhammer 6, WD Richie, I told my wife I wanted to be cremated. She made me an appointment for tomorrow.
Not for while you can, the monkey boy.
There you go. Weagle Weagle. Oh, Lord, we're never going to get through all these. This is too good. Wes Atkinson. Not another one. When a T-Rex cuts wood, he uses a dino saw. Says 76 Tiger Esquire, sleazy shyster, owner of a Roy Kent jersey. All right. You've opened the bag. You've opened Pandora's box now, 76 Tiger, because I got to tell you this. I cannot officially yet disclose the panels I will be on at Dragon Con this year in Atlanta, Labor Day weekend, that I go to every year as a guest. But let's just say, for one of the panels I'm going to be on, unless something changes between now and then, so this is completely unofficial, and if anybody at Dragon Con actually listened to our show, I'd be in trouble, but they don't. I got in two AFC Richmond Roy Kent jerseys. The red and blue one that kind of looks like Barcelona, and the orange one that kind of looks like the Netherlands. That orange one is so sharp. I know everybody will recognize the other one, the home one, but I just had to get that orange one. It's just nice. And they both have number 6 on the back and Kent.
Oi!
So I'll be like, I won't shave that morning, you know, and I'm just going to go into every panel like, oi! Who's all, you know, and then mumble Roy Kentisms for an hour. So I can't wait. And you know that that panel is going to be packed out. And they probably won't ever do it again because the show's off the air now. This will be like the big finale panel for it. Oh, man. I can't wait. I can't wait. William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, Auburn Blue, Blake Caron, Boris the Tiger, Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, David D., David Simpson, Die Bama, at
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
It remains our most popular clip from the Thank the Patrons. Josh Teal, Just Wait Till Next Year, Kevin Mahan, Lesser Known NCAA Punishments. Now that we have hired Hugo Sleaze, we have to change the name to Big Rat Weekend. Oh, hey, oh, all right. Luther and Kelly Ottaway, Melissa Blackstone, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, and our one-time and anonymous donors. Yeah! All right, it's not over yet, though. Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Spider-Man has a winter jacket made out of Mediterranean flatbread. It's called a pita parka. Stephen Houston, man, did Jared know how much this button was going to get clicked tonight? Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle 87, Woody the Jag, at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram, Alex Nguyen, Ben Amos, Ben Regis, Brian Albanese, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Clay Henson, Colonel Dad, a.k.a. Ari Benzina, I'm missing my category, Mr. Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Darren Pyle, Elizabeth Donald,
we got to get better at celebrating.
I get my way because I am persuasive. I am Tiger. Woo! All right. If Han was our quarterback, would we rename the Wildcat to Solo? Ooh. There you go. I'll buy this for $1. James Taylor, Jeremiah Schumann, Jim McCrory, Joey Miller, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains because the barbecue.
You have failed me for the last time.
AKA Auburn Dad for life. Well, the barbecue's be coming along in just a few weeks. We are mere weeks away from the barbecue show.
I can almost smell it.
I can smell the barbecue here from here. Do you think that people know what the barbecue show means? I think our diehard listeners certainly know, right?
But if you're a new listener, you've noticed that we don't make predictions.
Nope.
We save the football predictions for one episode. We eat barbecue. And the barbecue communicates with us and releases the predictions, and then we speak them.
It releases football predictions and endorphins. Not necessarily in that order. Mark Squire, MVP, captivating Kathy Bright.
Your love of the half-things leaf has clearly slowed your mind.
New York Tiger calls for the Big Cat Weekend grr-grr soundbite. I don't have a Big Cat Weekend soundbite.
I think you have to do it.
I do. I needed to do it, and I didn't do it.
No, but you just have to make the sound.
Oh. I guess Boris could do it. Boris, do the big cat sound. What? That's your sound. That's not a big cat sound. Boris just says what? Nick Craig, Paul Bankson, Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky, I am at the bottom of this list because...
God bless it!
For while you can,
the monkey boy.
Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson, Why Are You Booing John? He's Right, Brent Rumble, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. Go to www.auwishbone.com. And now, we got to check in on the Fantasy Formula One League very, very quickly. We've had a little bit of movement this week. I went down one. Sir Bacon the First went up. Cheeky Nando's went down one. Mississippi Racing went up. So your current top 10, number one, Teamy McTeamface. Number two, Tiger Transit. Number three, Sir Bacon the First. Number four, Scuderia Toro Plexico. Number five, Mississippi Racing. Followed by Cheeky Nando's, Albi Mobile, Scuderia Aquila Guerra, Smokescreen 45, and Solitaire. And Teamy McTeamface is about 50 points ahead of the second place team. And I am about 200 points behind first place. So not good, but we'll see how it goes. All right. And now it is time for everybody's favorite segment, John.
Bring it on. Who can
it be now? Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the Yard Sale Artist, here with Guess the Game 101. Guess the Game 101 is brought to you by Ben05AU on Twitter. He had kind of a fun little suggestion. I'm not going to lie. There's not much to this one. It's going to be a little bit tough. I'll just be interested to see if you guys can parse it out. There's not even bleeps in it at all. So I guess you just get to listen to it twice. So good luck. Here it is the first time.
I don't believe there are any flags down, although I could not see one due to the maze of people on the field.
All right, guys. I'll see you in the hint file.
Okay.
That is
Eli Gold.
That is Eli Gold.
Of the Alabama Radio Network.
Yeah.
Couldn't see a flag because of the maze of people on the field. I think, did Eli Gold call the kick six for Alabama?
I was going to say it has to be an Iron Bowl, but he's done them for 100 years, so it could be any Iron Bowl. Yeah.
I was trying to think about another play where they might be talking about a penalty on the field, like hoping, Alabama hoping for a penalty on the field.
Yeah, I bet you're right. I bet you're right. Let's hear the hint file. I think you got it, though.
Okay, guys, hopefully you elected to listen to the hint file if you didn't get it right off the bat, because I might give you a little hint in the hint file after we listen to it a second time. Let's listen to it a second time.
I don't believe there are any flags down, although I could not see one due to the maze of people on the field.
All right. Again, I really appreciate Ben05AU for sending that in. This was a real golden opportunity. A golden opportunity.
We got
it. I'll see you in the answer file.
We got it. We got that it's Eli Gold. Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it. Oh, nice. I think we're going to have to go with that. You going to go with that?
Do it.
Let's do
it. Okay, Van and John, if you guys figured out that this is Eli Gold, the Alabama radio announcer, calling the kick six.
There it is.
From 2013's Iron
John
Bowl.
John gets it.
Then you figured it out. I thought that was a little clever fun sent in by Ben05AU. If you'd like to be like Ben and send in a play for Guess the Game, I can be found at lots of different places. I am at Yard Sale Artist, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Or you can email me directly at Jared, that's J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, guys. War Eagle.
It's a good one. And you know what it reminds me of, John, is I actually have the same play, but it's not from that game. But I have the same play with our announcer and the other team's announcer. Can you tell me? Here's the other team's announcer on the same play.
Oh, my God!
Do you know what play?
The prayer in Jordan Hare?
A miracle in Jordan Hare! A miracle in Jordan Hare!
Yep, yep. I have the prayer at Jordan Hare, both from Bramblett and whoever Georgia crap announcer is.
That was a very creative one, and I appreciate Ben and Jared. And I want to say a special thanks to Jared, because 101 of these is a lot.
Yes.
And the 100th one last week was a fun, creative episode, even though it wasn't as creative as I thought it might have been with the AI podcast version. But it was creative because it was us having to listen to an episode of The Wishbone to guess the game.
That was good. Yeah. That was really good. I'd forgotten exactly how we did it. Yeah, that was great. All right. So now, as always, we move on to...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister. It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
All right. What's in the mailbag this week?
All right. We got a few. Our first one is from listener Lane Middleton, who says, Van, we need some F1 soundboard clips. Something but like just an incident.
Yeah. Well, you know what we need is like we need a little diddle-dip sound and then have like somebody else come in and say something. I don't know who. Like Coach Malzahn is saying something.
Diddle-dip. Can we gotta get better at celebrating?
You know, something, I don't know, something like that. I don't know.
I was gonna say the Ferrari strategy guy is going, we got this. We got this under control.
You use Ferrari and strategy guys in the same sentence. That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. Yeah, that's true. I'll have to come up. I'll make another note. I keep having these little. I have a pad of things to find for the soundboard in my copious spare time. And I'll just add.
I was
going
to say, if you have an idea for a soundboard clip, please send Van the actual audio clip.
Yeah, that'd be great. Save me the trouble of having to go find it. But I'll have to find an. I got to expand the soundboard so that I can add more because it's pretty full. It's overflowing.
All right. Our next question is from Bill Miner. He says, guys, I love the idea of hearing about Al Borges' book, and hopefully you will be able to have a chat with him. I remember him being the OC and seeing him frequently at baseball games when in school. In light of him being discussed, who were your favorite offensive and defensive coordinator that have held the position at Auburn? Lots of great ones, lots of flame outs, and lots of in between. Good question.
Wow. I think my two favorite offensive coordinators were Al Borges and Gus Malzahn.
Wow.
Who am I forgetting that I'm being dumb here?
Jimbo, Bobby Petrino, Terry Bowden.
Terry was...
Rodney the spread guy's name?
Rodney Allison, Tony Franklin.
Tony Franklin.
How many can we name? All right, let's see.
Hugh Knoll.
I want to see how many offensive coordinators I can name. I'm going to start with Pat Dye's offensive coordinator. Bud Casey was the running backs coach. Was it Neil Callaway? I can't remember who the offensive coordinator was. And then later it was basically at one point Larry Blakeney was calling the plays as the receivers coach. With Pat Sullivan directing the passing game. Terry Bowden's offensive coordinator, and Tommy Bowden came in late, and then Tommy Bowden kind of held over with Terry for a little while. And then Rodney Allison took over as offensive coordinator after Tommy. Let's see. And then, Tuberville's first offensive coordinator was Neil Mazzoni.
Mazzoni.
He was pretty good. He was very creative. He ended up like at UCLA or whatever. And then he was replaced by Petrino. Which, I mean, he was okay, but I don't like him. And then
he's a terrible human being. He was a great offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I didn't like his offense, though.
We were effective, whether you liked it or not.
It was all right. 2003 was the Nile Sminger offense that you love so much and I love so much. Then 04 through 07 was Borges. And then Tony Franklin, the experiment going horribly wrong. Then Gus Malzahn. Then He Who Shall Not Be Named. Loeffler. God. And then Rhett Lashley. And then let's see. Who did Gus have after Rhett?
You wear more recent ties, but it's harder.
It's harder because Gus kept changing offensive coordinators every year. He had the guy that was the coordinator the 2 years we had Stidham that was off of the old staff, off of the an analyst, you know, that went out to Arizona State or whatever. And he had the young guy that's coaching, that just got the job, the Arizona or whatever, Arizona State job, like this year. That really young kid.
Yeah, the kid we hired him away from Memphis.
He coached for 1 year, then he went out to Oregon, and then Nix went out to Oregon with him for a year. And now he's been hired as the head coach.
Kenny Dillingham.
Dillingham, yeah. And, so Dillingham and then...
Somebody else in the middle there.
The Arkansas
Chad
guy.
Morris.
Chad Morris, Lord help us. And then Bobo. And then whoever we ended up with last year after Bobo, who wasn't terrible. That was the guy that like hung around and was actually pretty good. Wasn't the offensive coordinator last year the one that hung around when Potato left?
The defensive coordinator hung around. The offensive coordinator they fired out of a cannon the minute Potato
was
gone.
That's right. That's right. They dropped him out of a blimp onto the ground, onto the concrete.
Because, again, that's where the offense changed completely. We ran the ball a lot more when he was gone.
So that's pretty much most of the offensive coordinators I can think of. The defensive coordinators I could probably do if you pointed a gun at my head.
Wayne Hall.
Wayne Hall.
Right?
Yep.
Pretty much all the way through. And then even,
until Brother Oliver, 96.
Oliver. He wasn't bad.
Mm-mm.
But then also a little bit of backstabbing in there.
Yeah.
Right? And
he was
the interim coach.
Between
friends. Going into Tuberville. And then Tuberville's defensive coordinator at the beginning was...
Oh, that guy. I can't remember his name. Mazzoni and the other guy. Lovett or something?
Yeah, John Lovett. Yep. And he was there a few years. And then, then it was Chizik.
Well, yeah. Chizik came in 2002 with Petrino.
Right. So it was Lovett, and then it was Chizik. And then it was Muschamp?
No, in five, it was the Iowa State guy. In 05, it was the Iowa State guy.
Paul Rhodes.
Yeah.
Rhodes. And then it was Muschamp.
Muschamp 6 and 7, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And then he followed Chizik to Texas, so Chizik got the Iowa State coaching job. And then he went to be the head coach at Florida after that. And then after Muschamp, at the end of Tuberville.
Well, you know what? No, I'm wrong. 05, no. The Iowa State guy was 08.
Yeah, 05, he was after.
Yeah, 05 was the NFL guy from the Chiefs or whatever. Gibbs.
Yes.
Gibbs. 05 was Gibbs.
Yep.
And then
he was
6 and 7 was Muschamp. 8 was the guy that went back to Iowa State as their head coach after Rhodes. Yeah, Paul Rhodes. And then we had Leaky Roof.
Oh, Ted Roof. That's right. 9, 10, 11, 12 was Roof, right?
For sure through 11. And then 12 was Mustache.
Van Gorder.
Yep.
God, because we had Leffler and
we
Van
had
Gorder,
the worst coordinators
the
ever
worst,
in 12.
There's a reason we went had the 12 as an abysmal season. It's because we had the worst two coordinators in America.
Good Lord.
And honestly, I don't want to hear anybody say, man, Gene Chizik got a short shift. He decided to hire those two people.
He did.
Okay. That if you do that, if you hire both of those guys, you head coaching gone.
That's it.
It's automatic. So, and then we went to Gus,
who had the what's his name that had been the Southern Miss head coach and went 0-12 or 0-11, whatever.
The older guy.
Yeah.
Yes. Gray hair. It's like Ellis Johnson.
Yes, Ellis.
Ellis Johnson, and then Steele.
Yeah, Kevin Steele. Which we were all horrified with at first. Yeah, we were so horrified, and then he ended up being great.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
He was so great.
He was.
Yeah, and
he was through 20. Yeah.
And then Mason, Derek Mason. And then whoever
took over last year.
Boise guy last year.
Yeah, who wasn't terrible. And now we've got the Baylor guy.
Ron Roberts from Baylor, yeah.
Yep.
So I'm going to say my favorite two defensive coordinators. I mean, Muschamp really turned around the recruiting of defensive backs and the teaching of coverage in a way that really changed the trajectory of things at Auburn. I think that he and Tavarius Robinson together really made a difference there and really changed Auburn's defense. You know, through 10 years later, it really still was making a difference because they had something they were looking for specifically. It's a lot of good defensive coaches in there. I mean, I think definitely I got to say Steele, even, as a defensive coordinator, I really appreciated him.
Yeah.
I knew what to expect. And then, early, the 2004 defense was awesome.
That was Chizik.
I know. So I'm thinking about Chizik.
Yeah, I think my two favorite defensive coordinators are Wayne Hall and Chizik. I mean, there have been others, and Muschamp was very good, and Steele was very good. But I think Wayne Hall, in his prime, before he got distracted and quit trying. And honestly, Brother Oliver's defense was fun.
He was an excellent defensive coach.
When he would put 11 guys up on the line, and the quarterback would come out of the huddle and look at that and be like, what the heck is about to happen? And I love that Brother Oliver would say, I put that out there. And he says, he called that formation somebody's band is about to play. He said, I don't know which one, but somebody's band is about to play. Maybe ours, maybe theirs. That was so good. We ran that against Tennessee in the SEC Championship game in a game we had no business being in, and we almost beat them. In Peyton Manning's last year at Tennessee, 1997 SEC Championship game, we led that game like 27-10, and we had no business being in it because Brother Oliver's defense was shutting them down until the end. Oh, man, one that got away.
And our last question this evening is from Auburn Elvis, who says, Dear John and Van, I know your brains start to shut down near the end of the show.
But no, it's the end. The end. Oh, I've been doing it wrong all this time.
But I'm putting your creativity to the test regardless. For each of you, what are the top three things Auburn invented, real or otherwise?
The top what now?
Top three things that Auburn invented, real or otherwise. I'm going to make up three things, okay?
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Chicken fingers.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go with that. Chicken fingers with French fries.
Mm-hmm. A Texas toast.
Yeah.
I'm going to say...
throwing toilet paper in trees that you're not trying to do something mean to. Yeah.
Giant scoreboards in the stadium.
Throwing toilet paper in trees in a good way.
In a positive way.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. There's three things.
Yeah.
I think he was probably going for like an actual thing like... Auburn invented silly putty or something, but
well, I'm sure that we over the years, the labs, the research and all have come up with things like the McDonald's no meat burger, remember?
Yes, and weren't some of the
McLean Deluxe
the tiles on the space shuttle design at Auburn?
Probably. And the highway, the particular formula of asphalt for highways. We have like a whole department of asphalt research. I'm not making that up at all. That's a real thing. Because there was a road in Auburn you drive over and it had different surfaces and like little flags and stuff. And that what they were doing was they were just letting people drive over it and measuring how tires wore differently on the different surfaces. I remember driving over that a bunch. That was a neat thing.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's it for listener questions. Please send yours in to auwishbone@gmail.com.
There you go. And meanwhile, our last installment.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
I don't have facts to back this up.
So, what is going on with this NIL thing?
So, there's been some bills proposed in Congress that have no chance of passing, but there's actually a bipartisan bill that was introduced in the last week that's still a long way from passing, but that might actually pass. And it does and the reason it might pass because they put a bunch of stuff in it that would like take care of student athletes. Okay. It doesn't make student athletes employees. It doesn't forbid them from ever being classified as employees. It doesn't forbid NIL, but it regulates NIL by forcing the disclosure of all of the amounts in a federal database, basically, and then it makes it a crime to incent someone to use NIL to come to a school or stay at a school, a federal crime. Again, it creates bureaucracy around that, which is, I think, probably our federal tax dollars could do something better. But it does include some other positive athlete stuff, like requiring basically long-term health insurance for all student athletes for injuries they sustain. It says your scholarship is basically guaranteed as long as you stay in school and have good grades. A player could actually enter the draft and go back to school, a couple other things like that. So and because it's a federal bill, it would trump all the, the state legislation. Because states keep passing crazier and crazier NIL bills, which, again, the NCAA has no one to blame but itself. It could have got way ahead of this 10 years ago, but it didn't. Mm-hmm. And whether you like it or not, at some point down the road, athletes are going to be considered employees, and this will all go out the window. But between here and there, this bill might pass, and it might make a difference. The other thing is, NIL is in the early Wild West crazy town days, and at some point, the market is going to force things to settle down and be a little calmer, just because market and efficiency, they're not going to keep throwing money out the window.
This is the one I think is co-sponsored. It's a bipartisan bill. They're bragging about it. I remembered, I think it's Cory Booker, the New Jersey senator, is one of the people involved. I don't remember who else was in it. I recognized him. I didn't recognize the other ones necessarily. How is Tuberville not involved in this?
He has another bill, but it's out there a little bit.
Yeah. All right. one of its clauses recognizes our 2004 national championship. I'll vote for that right now. Say what you will about Tuberville as a legislator, and I'm not saying
anything. The delegation
from
California doesn't like that bill, then, Van.
The who? What?
The delegation from California would vote against that bill.
No, they're not. They're not happy at all with that. But, I would say what you will about Tuberville as a legislator, and I'm not saying anything on this show, but if he could get that for us, that'd be one really nice thing he could accomplish in the Senate.
Well, I look forward to next week's episode where Van and I role play the entire Congress debating NIL legislation.
Model Congress.
Model Congress on the AU Wishbone podcast. You would listen to that.
Yeah, that'd be exciting. Be exciting. It's the end of it. It'd be the last part of that Cal clip. All right. Well, I think we've reached the part of the show, as Auburn Elvis says, where our brains go dead or whatever it was.
Shutting down.
I thought we were supposed to shut them down at the beginning to make for a better show, but here I've been doing it backwards the whole time, and I feel like I've gotten it all wrong. Oh well. All right, I haven't said this in a couple of weeks, but I'm gonna tee it up there because I don't like the ending right now. Final thoughts for this week, John.
Van, War Eagle, and I hate the University of Massachusetts.
We'll go out on a high note.
It's UMass Hate Week 2023.
There you go. On that note, our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Go to bed.